Mr. Larry Sharp.
You know, God tells us in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 8, that we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is God telling us in this scripture? Now, I don't think any of us have a problem remembering which day is the Sabbath. You're here today, the Sabbath day. But how do we keep something holy? Isn't that God's job to keep things holy? It's not our job, is it? There are 544 verses using the word holy 611 times in the King James Bible. There are holy convocations, holy men, holy women, holy people, holy ground, holy garments, holy gifts, holy places, holy days. And I could just go on and on about the different descriptions of various things that are described as holy. Well, what does it mean when all these things are labeled as holy? The purpose of this message is to focus on the subject of holiness and how we can fulfill the commandment that God has given to us to keep the Sabbath day holy. Point number one is this: only God is inherently holy. Only God is inherently holy. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel, the second chapter, verse 2. 1 Samuel, second chapter, verse 2. Now, probably most of us here will say, of course, Larry, I understand that. Only God is holy. But, you know, this is one of the basic foundations, the principles, whenever you start discussing the subject of holiness. I'd like to reference you to Psalms, the 99th chapter, verse 5. Psalm 99:5, and I'll quote it for you. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. God is holy. God is the one that is holy. God has always been holy. Nobody made God holy. He has that ability, that aspect of existence in him. He is holy. Holiness is part of him. And he is the only one that is holy. Nobody else is holy other than him. Let's read about that in 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, verse 2. No one is holy like the Eternal, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Yes, we can see that only God is the one that is holy, but that's not the only thing that is holy, which brings us to point number two. Point number two is this: God can make something else holy. God can make something else holy. Please turn with me to Leviticus, the 11th chapter. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, we're going to read verse 45. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, verse 45. Here's an example of people who are made holy. Why? Because God is holy. And let's read about it here in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, verse 45. For I am the Eternal who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy because I am holy. You see, God is the one that is inherently holy, but he can make something else holy. He made the Israelites right here holy. He says, you guys are going to be holy. Why? Because I am holy. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse 2, you don't have to turn there. I'll just quote it for you. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. Why? For I, the Eternal, your God, am holy. It's a reconfirmation of the fact that God can make something else holy. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 6, and I'll quote that for you. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all of the people on the face of the earth. Please turn with me now to Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Exodus, the 3rd chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Now, of course, as we look at these references I made where God made something holy, that was human beings. Physical human beings, something living that God made holy. But you know, God can make inanimate objects holy too. It doesn't have to be just human beings. And here we'll see an example of something that God made holy. Exodus, the third chapter, verse 1. Now Moses was attending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not being consumed. Boy, now that is something to behold. Verse 3, then Moses said, I will show now and turn aside and see this great sight and wonder why in the world this bush does not burn up. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to Moses from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, that was Moses. Here I am, God. And he says, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Do you see now that God made something holy ground? It's not a physical human being or something living that maybe we could point to. No, this was an inanimate object. We're talking about a bush that was just continuously burning, and it was just burning like all get out, and Moses saw it, and he says, wow, I've got to go check this out. This is pretty interesting. Well, just because God made something holy, does that mean then that it remains holy from then on forever? Does anybody know, or have you seen on the world news about a bush over there in the Far East that's burning away? CNN, flashing news tonight, bush burning out in the desert. It's been burning for 3,000 years. No, we haven't heard anything about that. Well, the burning bush on the ground where the bush were at, that was holy because Jesus was there. But that's not the only way that something becomes holy, and that brings us to point number three. Point number three is this. Things dedicated to God become holy. Things dedicated to God become holy. Please turn with me now to Numbers, the sixth chapter. Numbers, the sixth chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. This is, in my Bible, the New King James Version of the Bible. Chapter 6 has got the title, The Law of the Nazarite. And that's what it's talking about. What a person does who wants to become a Nazarite, have that Nazarite vow, and do the things that are appropriate for a Nazarite. And this is what it's all talking about right here. So let's read about this. And then the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman concentrates an offering to take a vow of the Nazarite to separate himself to the Eternal, in other words, they're going to say, I'm going to now dedicate my life to doing things God's way, whatever God wants me to do, that's what I am going to do, period, in a report over all things. Verse 3, these are some of the things that go along with this Nazarite vow. He shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice or eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin. All the days of the vow of his separation no razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Eternal. He shall be holy. Why? Because he has dedicated himself to God. And God is looking at that and says, okay, if that's what you're going to do, you're now holy. Then he shall let the locks of his hair on his head grow. Verse 6, all the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. Verse 7, he shall not make himself unclean even for his father or his mother or his brother or his sister when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation he shall be holy to the Eternal. So here we can see then that an individual can dedicate themselves to God, to serving God. Actually, that's all of us. Every single one of us in this room has dedicated ourselves to serving God. But as I was saying earlier, it's not just a human being or a physical life that can be made holy. I'll read or just quote for you Exodus, the 28th chapter, verse 2. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. That means that things that are dedicated, like these here holy garments, these garments that were special, very high quality cloth, probably linen of some sort, silk, whatever. But anyway, that was dedicated strictly to God, to be used only in the temple services. And so those garments became holy. Things dedicated to God can become holy. But does everything that is dedicated to God become holy? That brings us to point number four. Point number four is this. It is God's prerogative as to what becomes holy. It's God's prerogative as to what becomes holy. Just because you dedicate it to God, that does not mean that it is holy. Please turn with me to Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter. We're going to read verses 10 through 15. Here we're going to find an example that just because it has been dedicated to God, that does not necessarily mean that God will accept that dedication and make it holy. May I reference to you Hosea the 8th chapter verse 13. Hosea the 8th chapter verse 13. For the sacrifices of my offerings, they sacrifice flesh and eat it. But the Lord does not accept them. Oh, they may dedicate it to God. But God says, no, I'm not going to accept them. And now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins, and they shall return to Egypt. That's in Hosea, the 8th chapter, verse 13. But let's read what it says here. And I think it kind of really gives us more of an explanation in Isaiah, the first chapter, verses 10 through 15, talking about things that have been dedicated to God, whether it's his prerogative to make them holy or not. Verse 10, hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Eternal? I have enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of your fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the of lambs and of goats. When you come to appear before me, when you has required this from your hand, to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. In other words, God say, you know, you're just bringing them to me, but I'm not accepting them. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. That's God saying. If God says he hates it, I'm going to tell you right now, he's not going to allow it to be dedicated to him. He's not going to say, I approve it. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. You can say, God, I want to donate this and dedicate this and make it all to you. I'm not going to listen to you. Your hands are full of blood. Now that gives you an example then of how we can dedicate something to God, but that doesn't always mean that it will become something that God will accept, and therefore it doesn't become holy. So let's summarize our four points. Only God is inherently holy. Only God. Nobody else. God has that in him. Point number two. God can make something else holy, but that's his prerogative. He can do that if he wants to. Every single one of us in this room right here, we're holy. We're holy people because God has so set it forth. Things dedicated to God become holy, and that's what we're doing here today. We're dedicating this Sabbath day right here to God, and this Sabbath day for us is holy. Point number four, it is God's prerogative as to what becomes holy. It's up to God. God is the one that decides what becomes holy. Now, let's apply some of these principles to our everyday lives. And so we can understand totally what holiness all means to us. Please turn with me first to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus, the 20th chapter. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. Exodus, the 20th chapter, 8 through 11. Of course, we all understand this is where the Ten Commandments are at. And this first example that I want us to focus upon is keeping the Sabbath day holy. How do we go about doing it? Remember, we were commanded by God to keep the Sabbath day holy. Let's read about it here, starting in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is part of the Ten Commandments. This is what we are supposed to remember when the seventh day of the week comes by, the Sabbath day. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. That's what hallow means. God made the Sabbath day holy. It is for us, and we're to remember it. Please turn with me now to Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Isaiah, the 58th chapter. We're going to read verse 13. Now, you might say, how can we keep the Sabbath day holy? What are some of the ways we can go about doing it? Well, we just read there in Exodus, the 20th chapter, and primarily it was focusing upon the fact that you shouldn't be out doing your regular job. I don't know, maybe you're a policeman or whatever it is. Well, if you're a policeman, when the seventh day comes, the Sabbath, don't be out doing your police work or whatever else you're doing. Whatever your job is, that's basically what God was in reference to. This is a time that we're supposed to focus, dedicate our time to God. Now, there isn't a lot of detail that we saw there in Exodus, the 20th chapter. We get a little bit more detail here in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verse 13. And I would just like to, the way I would like for us to look at keeping the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Now, I know, like most of us here that have been in this church for about 150 years, we know that we're supposed to, I'll do this, and you can't do that. I remember whenever my wife and I very first came into the church, it was my understanding that as soon as the sun set, as soon as it went down, well, you had to be sitting in an easy chair somewhere, and you had all of your booklets from the work all spread out in front of you, and you had a little glass of wine. I didn't like wine, but anyway, I had that little glass of wine there. I didn't want it, but everybody else, you got to have wine. You know, the apostle said you could have wine. Oh, okay, fine. I got my little glass of wine there. And then I had already taken my shower. I'm all cleaned up. I'm sitting there in my robe, you know, and my house slippers, and I'm ready to go. Study the Bible. I want to keep the Sabbath. Turn off that TV. Vicky, don't have that TV on. Don't you know that that is doing our own pleasure? Well, I don't do that today. You know, I still, I like to have a glass of wine every now and then, that's for sure. But I like to watch the TV and see what the world scene is going on. What's going on in the world? God tells us to do that in Matthew 24. He says, find out what's happening in the world. Keep an eye on what's going on around you physically, not only on your own physical character. So whenever people ask me in the church today, how do we keep the Sabbath holy, Larry? I mean, what am I supposed to do? Well, I tell you, it probably depends on each of us individually. Now, there's certain basic set rules. You don't work on the Sabbath. I think we all understand that. We all also understand it's the seventh day, not the first day of the week or the sixth day of the week. It's the seventh day, which is Saturday. That's the Sabbath day. After that, it's basically between you and God as to how you keep that Sabbath. Now, Mr. Carlisle said that he and his wife, Elaine, just recently went on their wedding anniversary. They were celebrating their wedding anniversary, and they were sort of like taking in God's nature and the mountains and the beautiful scenery that God has created for us as human beings. There's not a thing at all wrong with that. My wife and I do it every time we celebrate our wedding anniversary. And, you know, we're not been married 150 years yet, but I'll tell you, we're getting close to it, 49. And I tell you, we do that. Now, do I think that God is holding me, looking down and say, oh, look at that dirty Bob Carlisle and Elaine Carlisle there. They're keeping the staff. And looky there, Larry and Vicki Sharp, they're doing the same thing. Oh, boy, let's get them both out here and let's really treat them a lesson, you know. No, it's all right. There's not a thing wrong with that. You can keep God's Sabbath out there in the desert just as well as you can anywhere else. Now, other people might say, no, I can't do that. Well, if that's your prerogative, don't do it. If you feel like that is something wrong, don't do it. If you do something that is not a faith, then it's sin. But let's talk about a little bit here in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verse 13, regarding how we should look at keeping the Sabbath. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, for doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure or speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the eternal, and he will cause you to ride high on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the eternal has spoken. In other words, you know, we got the Rams football team now in L.A. Boy, I remember when the Rams football team was here, but not here anymore. They were gone for years. Now they're back. Well, would it be all right for us to go see the Rams football game on the Sabbath? I don't think there's a person here that would say that would be an appropriate thing to do. I think we all would agree. So what we want to do then is dedicate the time of the Sabbath when it comes to God. And remember, when you dedicate something to God, God will then make that holy for you. And that's what we should do. We should call, just like Isaiah says, call the Sabbath a delight and do those things that are right and proper on the Sabbath so we can look forward to the future when everybody, when the Sabbath day comes, will be keeping it appropriately. I'd like to give you another example of how to keep time holy and how holy time affects us. The time we spend in prayer to God can be holy. Did you understand that? Do you know that? Did you ever think about it? That the time you go into your prayer closet, that can be holy time? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. May I ask you this question? How much holy time is there in the weekly Sabbath day? Anybody got any ideas? Now, this is sort of a trick question to highlight the fact of how we should be looking at holy time. Now, every one of us in this room will say, the Sabbath is from sunset at the sixth day to sunset on the seventh day. That 24-hour time period, that is holy. Is there anybody that would disagree with that? No. But let me ask you this question. All of our brothers and sisters back on the East Coast, if you were to ask them that question, when is the Sabbath day? You know, when is that holy time? Well, it's from sunset Saturday to sunset Sunday. That's the 24 hours. Is it the same 24 hours that we celebrate? It's not. It's not. Matter of fact, they're getting awful close to the end of their Sabbath. But for us, we got another four hours before the Sabbath is ended. So you can see then that the Sabbath day can be, you know, if you looked at it for all the people around the earth, if you go from the international dateline all the way around, it can be 48 hours, depending on where you're at, if you wanted to compare them all together. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out is for the very simple reason that holy time is not just on the Sabbath. If you dedicate some time to God and you go in your prayer closet, who are you speaking to? You're speaking to the eternal being that has existed forever, has all power and authority, and will always exist. Now, do you think that if you're going to go talk to that kind of an individual, that time isn't holy? If you don't think that isn't holy, I don't know what would be. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, verse 17, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God, Jesus Christ, for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. In other words, what God is telling us here is that whenever you pray, it doesn't have to be just on the Sabbath. Well, of course, you can pray at any time you want to. And whenever you go to God, the God who is immortal, the God who inhabits eternity, definitely that individual is somebody, when you dedicate time to him, then you can have holy time created for him. Please turn with me to Matthew, the sixth chapter. We're going to read verses 5 through 6. This here is the model prayer, talking about when we do go in to talk to God. And it says in verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward." Yeah, all the people look at him. Oh boy, look at that righteous man there. Well, that's their big reward. That's not the kind of reward we want. Verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. For when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." And here God goes on to give us an example of how we should be praying. So here we can see then, don't be like the rest of the people out there on Sunday TV. You got them all out there. Boy, they're everywhere. If you ever watch it on Sunday TV, if you ever want to get a worthless waste of time and energy, see what some of these guys have to say. I don't even listen to them anymore. But anyway, when we pray, we go privately to God. And God, the most powerful being in the universe, when we dedicate that time to him, he will make it holy and he will listen to what we have to say. Well, there's I have a number of things that I could, other examples I could bring out. The fact that, you know, we are holy people. May I reference to you Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 2. And I'll just read that for you. I'll quote it for you. "I'll beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Remember also 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17. "If anyone defiles that temple then of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Do we understand that? We have dedicated ourselves to God, and that temple now has God's Holy Spirit in it, and we are holy. I've got just enough time for one more example, talking about tithes and offerings, because I think this is important. Please turn with me to Leviticus, the 27th chapter. Leviticus, the 27th chapter. sometimes we need to be reminded of these different things, because the tithes and the offerings that we give, when we give them to God, they're dedicated to God, they become holy, and it'll also help illustrate the principles of holiness that we need to keep in mind as we go through our lives here. Let's read Leviticus, the 27th chapter, verse 30. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the eternal's. It is holy to the eternal. God owns everything, but he allows us to have these different things. Bob was saying, he was talking about coveting, Hey, true, I got a red Corvette, but the thing is, God is the one that allowed me to have it. I worked my hiney off to get that thing. That's the way we have to do it. We all have to work hard. And whenever we do, then God will bless us. And whenever we work hard, we're also supposed to give some of that back to God himself. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 6. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 6, you don't have to turn there. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwell in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the eternal their God, they laid in heaps. In other words, this is just illustrating another of the principles of holiness. Things dedicated to God become holy. Now, let's think about, for example, it's a holy day, and we're going to give an offering. Let's say you have your offering envelope, and in there you put a dollar bill. So whenever we take up the offering, we give it to Nancy Daly. She's our treasurer for the Redlands Church. She then sends that back to the home office. The home office will take that dollar bill, that offering, which has been dedicated to God, is holy. That's what we've just been reading about right here in Leviticus, the 27th chapter, verse 30, and 1 Corinthians 3:17, etc. These things dedicated to God become holy. That dollar bill was holy. So now we send it back to the home office, and they do a job with it. They make up more booklets. Maybe they buy a pencil or whatever it is that they need back there at the home office to get their job done. That's that money that was being done, that dedicated to them, that God will then make holy. But the thing is, what happens to that dollar bill after the home office took it and went over to the stationery store and bought a pencil? Is that dollar bill over there still holy? No, it's no longer dedicated to God. That was given to the people at the stationery store so they could have a pencil. It's no longer holy. Remember the bush that was out there in the desert? Is it holy today? No, it's not holy now. This is just another illustration of how holiness works for us in the church. Let's summarize. Only God is inherently holy. Nothing else is. God can make something else holy. Things dedicated to God become holy. And it's God's prerogative as to what becomes holy. God has called us out of this world to be a holy people. We should be honored. We should consider it a tremendous blessing from God to be able to understand that the Sabbath day is a time for us to be here and for us to learn the different things that God has for us, like being a good neighbor or whatever. These are the blessings that from God. And we should look forward to the time. You know, as we go through the work week, we work hard and we do all of our jobs and all that stuff, but we need to be thinking down the road. You got to say, boy, I want to be able to rest up and take it easy because the Sabbath is coming up here very shortly. That is something that we need to look forward to. And whenever we dedicate our time to doing that, then guess what? The Sabbath is made holy. And whenever you go into that closet and you talk to God and you say, God, I want to keep that Sabbath and I want to do a right job about it. That time that you're talking to the most powerful being, the head of the spiritual and physical universe, that's holy time. So let's all keep that in mind. That's how we can make things holy.